We're up to Torah Samach Tes in Likut Imran Tanina. In our Likut Imrans, it's page 74, the right-hand column of the page, the second full paragraph down. Rabbeinu Zal says, Mashenoi hagim litein brocha lohoish hamevi hamashke lo'erchim oyalachasana ukiyotze. This, that there is a minhag among Jews, that the person who brings the drinks to the table, either at a wedding or when it comes to serving guests, there is a minhag to give that person a drink to make a bracha on. This is a minhag among Klal Yisrael. Hainu, Rabbi Nizal paraphrases this. Kishenoisin yayin oidvash lo'erchim, when a person brings wine or sweets, honey, for the guests, oyalachasno, or at a wedding, Azayin noyhagin litein min hamashke lahashliach hanoisias hamashke lasais brocho. It is the minhag, it is customary to give the one that's bringing the drinks or the honey, to give him some of it to make a brocho on. What's the basis for this minhag? Rabbein Ezal says, Hu al pi ma shekosuv b'Zohar HaKadosh, it's based on an item that's discussed in the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Sheyesh kama dvorim shehem nisoim v'noisim. There are several items in Yiddishkeit where these items are carried and they carry. Meaning, v'choshev shom kama dvorim, the Zohar HaKadosh lists several items, shehem nisoim, they are carried, which means, dahainu shenoisim oisam, there is something or someone that carries them, and still, ube'emes elu hadvorim heim noisim. And in actuality, these items that are being carried, they're actually also carrying. What does this mean? For example, kegoin hamerkava, for example, the throne of Hashem itself, which the Shehi Nisas Venoisas. The throne of Hashem is something that's carried. We're told, we're given an image in the Zohar HaKadosh in the Gemara, that the throne of Hashem is carried by the angels in heaven. And at the same time, those angels that are carrying the throne of Hashem, they themselves are being carried by the throne itself. They themselves are being lifted off. For example, or another example, the Chein Ha'oroin, so too with the Holy Ark that was in the Mishkan, the Oroin that was in the Mishkan, Shehoyu Noisim Oisoi, when the Jews traveled throughout the desert, the Levim were selected, they were given the privilege of carrying the Oroin, this Holy Ark, throughout the desert, Vehi Noisei Es Noisov, and this Ark actually carried the ones that carry it. Which means, the Gemara says, that if you would look at the feet of the ones that were carrying this Oroin, you would see that their feet didn't touch the ground. The Oroin itself actually lifted them off the ground so that it appeared as if they were carrying it, they were serving it. In actuality, the Oroin was supporting its carriers. It was carrying them. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh bechinas brocho shenoisnim kanal." This concept is similar to the concept of this brocha that we give to the waiter to make. That we give this waiter something to make a brocha on. Why? Rabbeinu Zal explains, because there is a pasuk in Yechezkel Hanavi where it talks about the throne of Hashem, where it says over there, "Ki ruach hachayo bo'oifanim," the spirit of the Chaya is in the Oifanim. Chayos is one of the names of a very high-level form of angels in Shemayim. We say V'ho'oifanim, V'chayos HaKodesh, Barash Godol Misnasim. There are different levels of angels in Shemayim. One level is called Oifanim. A higher level is called Chayos. And yet the Torah tells us that the Oifanim who are below, they carry the Chayos. They support the Chayos who are above them. And yet the Pasuk says, Ki ruach hachaya bo'ifanim, that the spirit of the Chaya is in the Oifanim, meaning, Bechinas niseis v'noisas, meaning this concept of carrying and being carried. Ki ha'oifanim noisim hachayos, because we know that the Oifanim, which are the lower level, their job, their function is, they serve the Chayos. How? They carry these higher level Malochim. And yet, the Hachayos Noisim Oisam. And yet we know these Chayos, in actuality, are lifting up the Oifanim. They're the ones who are supporting them. As the Pasuk says, Ki Ruach Hachayo Ba'Oifanim. That the power of the Chaya is in the Oifanim. What purpose is it there for? It's to give them the energy and the strength and the Kiddusha, the holiness, to be able to participate in this privilege of serving the Chayos. V'chein hu kol ha-merkava, and so too with all the different aspects of the throne of Hashem, where if it looks to anybody as if they're serving the throne, in actuality, they're being served by the throne, they're being carried by it. Just like the mashal that's given about people that give tzedakah to support Torah institutions, they're called the pillars of the yeshiva, the pillars of the charity that they're supporting, and in actuality, what's giving them their whole shefa? What's giving them their whole support? The fact that they are the pillars of the yeshiva is what's causing them to have their parnosa. That's what's causing them to have their hatzlocha, their everything, is because they're serving in this capacity. V'chein hu kol ha-merkava, sheho ifanim noisim es ha-chayos, v'ha-chayos es ha-merkava. The oifanim, we said, carry the chayos. The chayos carry the merkava itself. And ube'emes, and in truth, ha-merkava noisas ha-koil. The throne is carrying everybody. It looks like A is carrying B and B is carrying C. In actuality, C is carrying all of them. The Merkava, the throne itself, doesn't need anybody to carry it. It looks like they're doing the carrying. In actuality, the holiness and the strength that emanates from the throne of Hashem is what's actually carrying and supporting all those that are attached to it. Rabbi Nezal says, V'al Kain, and therefore, Ze Shenoisei Es HaMashke, this individual who is carrying the drinks, he's bringing in the drinks, Noisnin Loi Brocha. We give him some of this drink to taste to make a bracha on. Shehu Bechinas Ki Ruach Hachayo Bo'ifanim. This is also a concept of this Ki Ruach Hachayo Bo'ifanim, that the spirit of the item that's being carried is placed into the carrier, meaning Shehu Bechinas Niso V'Noise, carrying and being carried. Kihu Noisei Es HaMashke. This waiter is carrying the drink. The ato, and now, when he's given some of it to drink, HaMashke Menase Oisoi. The drink lifts him up. It gives him a pickup. It gives him a lift. So this is actually emulating the Merkava of Hashem. And note, the first letters of those words, Ki Ruach HaChayo Bo'ifanim, make up the word Bracha, showing that there is a connection between this minhag that the Jews have to give bracha to the waiter. There's a connection between that and how the throne of Hashem conducts itself. The manner in which the whole involvement between the malachim, the whole interplay between the malachim and the merkava of Hashem is carried on, is emulated by this process of somebody bringing drinks to people. Now note, a person would think that, hey, you know, like what, how do you compare this to this? On one hand, they seem not to be related at all. We see that there are such types of analogies. The Gemara says, for example, that a person who serves a drink to a Talmud Chacham, a person who has a Talmud Chacham as a guest in his home and he serves him a drink, the Gemara says it's as if he poured Nesachim on the Mizbeach. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was a Mizbeach, and one of the forms of serving Hashem in the Mizbeach that helped to forgive sins was that they poured wine and water with the different karbonos on Sukkos. The Gemara says a person who pours for a Talmud Chacham, that's Nisuch HaYayin, that's Nisuch HaMayim on the Mizbeach. So we see that sometimes a regular physical action that's being carried on among people can have a connection to something that's much, much more choshev, much, much more significant, and much more spiritual, much more Adova Ruchni. Now, Rabbi Nezal added to this, Oi Shena Semize Shvorim. At times, a destruction is caused, a break is caused by this. Ki Hamashke Humechabe. Because the nature of a drink is that a drink extinguishes. What does it extinguish? It extinguishes the thirst within a person's body. If we picture the human body as a combination of fire and water, heat and liquid, just like any machine, a computer that has parts moving in it, a motor or a car, it needs a cooling system in order for it to be maintained so it doesn't get so hot that it just burns up. So too, the human body is a mixture of Eish and Mayim, fire and water. When a person gets sick, Rachmon al-Islam, they get fever. What does fever mean? That there's an imbalance in the body. The heat, the cooling system isn't working properly. It's not able to keep the temperature down enough to what's considered normal. Or the fire has gotten out of hand within the body. When we talk about a person who hasn't had anything to drink for a long time, he's lacking in water, that person is in a bechina of fire. We don't say that he's going to become hot from it necessarily, but the concept of being lacking in liquid is a concept of being too heavy on the ash, too heavy on the fire. When a person drinks liquid, he's extinguishing that fire within the body. That's why, for example, they say when a person is sick, when a person has fever, the most important thing is drink a lot of liquids. Why? There's a fire. There's an imbalance in your body where there's too much fire. We want to put out the fire by adding water. So we see that one of the functions of mashke, of liquid, is that it's mechabe. It extinguishes a fire. It puts out the fire of thirst, the tzimoin, that's in the person's body. And at the same time, the gam mechamemes ktsas. And a drink, whiskey, also warms up the person also. It cools and it warms. It does both. V'leibir hadovra hazeh klal. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal did not go on to explain this, to explain how this ties into what we said earlier, etc., and what exactly does this mean for us. Rabbeinu Zal just added this piece to the chapter we discussed earlier, saying that besides all the positive items that are done by carrying out this minhag of giving something to the waiter, to the one that's serving to drink, there is also a potential of this shvarim and period. Rabbeinu Zal left it at that. Baruch Hashem.
What type of practical application does this Torah have, let's say, in a person's life?
A lot of things. Number one, to know that any minhag of Klal Yisrael, any custom that we have, whether it be a Sephardic custom, an Ashkenazi custom, any custom that has a basis in Torah, you should know that there is depth to it. Sometimes it could be, to you, it looks like a simple physical thing, and you have no idea how this connects to something lamala, something involving Hashem, involving the Olam HaYisrael Yoinim. Rabbeinu Zal made a comment once that you have a simple Jew in this world who's leading a religious life. He keeps Shabbos, he tries to do the mitzvahs that he can. Such a person gives a little twirl with his peot, with his peis, a little twirl, and it could affect heavenly worlds above. Saying there are some, we have no idea how significant every single move that we make on this world is. Shem created everything for the Jewish people. All the angels, everything in existence is all for us. And sometimes we have no idea how a physical action on our part could affect the Olam HaYisrael Yoinim. And this is an actual minhag to know, a custom that when one is bringing in a drink, specifically comes to Yayin or Yayin Sorov, this kind of thing, there is a minhag that the one who's bringing the drink should be offered mashke to drink.
You're saying that the cup carries the malach because it's much greater. Like it's how it carries Talmidim.
Exactly. The answer is both are true. Both are true. The people that are supporting the yeshiva, in actuality, they're supporting it. But on the other hand, they are being supported by it. Which is the bigger connection? Which is more important? Which one's bigger? There's no question that the Merkava is bigger. Between Yisachar and Zvulun, which one is the real supporter? Which one's the real rich man? The Yisachar, no question. He's the one that's supporting the Zvulun. He's the one that's justifying the fact that Zvulun should make a lot of money. Why? Because if Yisachar is trying, struggling to learn more Torah, he's trying to devote more time to doing that, then it's only right that Zvulun should have more money with which to be able to provide him with. That kind of thing.
According to the end of the statement here, that as beneficial as it can be, can also be detrimental. And who can know but a tzaddik when it's time to hand to the waiter a piece that he can make a tzedakah?
I don't know if we can say that Rabbi Nizal said that it's detrimental. He said it's a bechin of shvorim, it's a bechin of break. Exactly whether that's a negative connotation or not, I'm not positive. It's not right? Put out a fire. To put out a fire, that's not a negative item necessarily. It puts out a fire. I don't know. But factually, Rabbi Nizal did quote this as a minhog Yisroel, and he mentioned it as a positive item, no question about it.
Couldn't this have another meaning? Like when you're hearing this story, it says that fire could be your problems, and the water could be the Torah.
That's an item we always discuss. The fact that the Zohar HaKadosh says that every single Jew has a neshama in him, a soul in him. The soul is a part of Hashem. What is Hashem? How is Hashem described in the Torah? Hashem is Eish Eichlo. Hashem is fire. If Hashem is fire, and I have fire inside of me, fire could be destructive. Fire that's not protected, fire that doesn't have a cooling system, is dangerous. What's the cooling system for this fire inside? The study of Torah. How do we know it? Because the Zohar HaKadosh says, let's talk about the physical body, the human body. What's the fire in the body? The heart. The heart is pumping constantly. It's pumping blood. When you have something that's moving constantly, friction creates heat. There's no question about it. Something moving back and forth constantly. Get a kid that's running back and forth. He gets sweated. He gets very hot. What cools off the heart? The lungs. The function of the lungs in the body is that serves as the air conditioning system, the cooling unit for the heart. The Gemara says in Chulin, Hei Oini Islareya, that the lungs are made up of five sections. There are five sections to the lungs, five bronchioles, whatever they're called, that represent the lungs. This is discussed in the Gemara in detail. The Zohar HaKadosh says, what does that represent? How does that relate to us? That refers to the five books of the Torah. The Chamisha Chumshei Torah, they represent the cooling system. A Jew has fire. I want to serve Hashem. I want to fly. I want to reach up to the heavens. That's no good. Because you can burn up from that. If you have no control on that, if you have no cooling system on that, a person could just burn up from it and fizz out completely. The cooling system, the lungs, are the five books of the Torah. That's the lungs. That's what serves to cool and contain this fire and see to it that it should be constructive only, not destructive. Chas v'shalom.
I have a question. What sins did the Yayin forgive? And also, at a wedding...
What sins did the Yayin forgive?
Oh,
sins that people did. No, I don't know if it discusses individual sins. That's an item for Kapuras Avinas. Go ahead.
And also, at what point in a wedding too would one do it, since they have like a bar or something?
Possibly when drinks are being served. You know, sometimes they have a rolling bar where they come to the tables to serve drinks, and could be that's an occasion to do it, possibly.
And also, why is it just wine and sweet things?
The answer is that there is a chashivus. There's no question. Wine, for starters, is in a class of its own in terms of religion. There are whole chapters in Shulchan Aruch that deal with wine. If a goy touches a piece of cake, you're allowed to eat that piece of cake. If a goy touches wine, if a Jew that doesn't keep Shabbos touches wine, that wine becomes forbidden. Not allowed to drink it. And certain other items where wine is very unique. One of the reasons being that the Eitz Hadas was grapes. Sochata Anovim, she squeezed grapes for him and he drank from it. That's one of the expressions. We've had shiurim. We have, in fact, one of the tapes of one of the classes that we gave in Deal was just a whole 45-minute shiur on this on the subject of wine, how significant it is. And sweet items also. Honey, the fact that Hashem created this item as being sweet versus being bland, versus being standard, normal, is again puts it in its own category, makes it different. Let's hold it over here for now. I want to try to continue also, talk about Rabbi Nizal's words. Maybe we'll take more questions at the end of the shiur. Torah Ayin, chapter 70. Rabbi Nizal says, Kol mi shegodol yoser, whoever is on a higher level, tzorich levakesh mevukshoy berichuk mokoyim yoser, has to search for what he needs also further. His search has to extend to a further place. Rabbein Azal says, kemoi shanu royim, as we see in the way the world was created, shehatzaymeach chiyusoy umevukshoy samoch loy miyad. Let's discuss the different levels in creation. The lowest level is called doimein, inanimate objects, objects that seem to have no life at all whatsoever, like a rock, sand, salt, things like that are doimein. The second level in creation is called tzemeach, plant life. That's a higher form of life where it looks much more alive than a rock. Even though the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that you should know every single rock in this world does have a certain aspect, a certain spirit of life in it, a certain spirit of Hashem in it that's keeping it together. Otherwise it would turn to nothing. There's no way anything could exist without the spirit of life from Hashem in it. But it's a much lower form of life. Plants are a higher form of life than rocks, and therefore we see them grow, we see them move, we see certain things in them that we don't see in ordinary rocks. Rabbein Azal says, and we see that when it comes to plants, their source of life, their source of energy, is very close by to them. The ground that they're attached to, that's where they're drawing their nutrition, their nutrients, their everything. It's right next to them. B'samach loy mamish, right in its immediate vicinity. U'behema. Now let's talk about the next level of creation. Animals, cows, other animals, whatever it is. Mavuksha samach lo gam kein al ha'aretz. Their needs, their source of life, their food, is also pretty close by on the ground. Achu berichuk yoser k'tzas menat tzemeach. But it's a little bit further than a plant. A plant is literally connected to the ground. The cow isn't connected to the ground. He's got to walk sometimes, a couple of miles, whatever it is, to get to a place where the grass is growing that he can draw his nourishment from. And he's got to bend down all the way to the ground and take it from there. We see a slightly further distance. Ki habehema gedoyla b'malo menat sameach. Because an animal is on a higher level than a plant. Avol ben odom, but a human being, tzorech levakesh mevukshoy berichuk yoyser v'yoyser min habehema. A human being, when it comes to him seeking his livelihood, he has to go further than a behema. He's got to get on a plane and go to Hong Kong sometimes. He's got to get on a plane and go to Alabama. He's got to get on a subway and go for an hour over here. Wherever he's got to go to buy goods or to do, not just in Parnassa, but in looking for a wife. There are times that people traveled across the world to find the woman that they would end up marrying. So Rabbein Azal says, according to what level the item that's seeking is on, that which it's seeking is closer to it or further away from it. And Rabbein Azal says, V'al kein, and therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom, Moshe Rabbeinu, Shehoyo godoil b'mala ma'oid, who was very, very great, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the greatest Jew of all time, the greatest tzaddik of all time, Hoyo tzorich levakesh mevukshoy berichuk mokoyim b'yoyser. He had to go very, very far to find his quest, to find his wife. The Alkein Hutzrach Levakesh Lo Isha Mi Midyan. That's why we find that Moshe Rabbeinu had to travel to the land of Midyan to find his wife, Tzipora. Why? Ki Mevukshoy Hoyorochoik Machmas Gidulosoi. Because that item which he needed, that item which he required, was much further away from him because of the level of greatness that he had. Rabbein Azal is telling us this, that we should know that sometimes it might appear to you like it seems ridiculous. This one who's so great, what he needs should be an inch away from him. And Rabbein Azal said you should know it's just the opposite. that the way Hashem has established the world, the lower a level a person is on, or the lower level a being is on, it's made easier for them. The thing is right next to them. You're going to ask a rock to go for a walk to get its nourishment. You're going to ask a plant to take a hike. In other words, Hashem set it up where its source of life is right there. An animal, it's a little further because an animal has more mobility. It's a higher level of life, a little further. A human being, it's still further. A tzaddik, the biggest tzaddik, there's a reason. There's a concept as to why he has to go sometimes very, very far, travel very, very far to get something that he needs. To get something that he needs for his shlemus, for his tikkun, to make for him to become complete.
So when you said, like, when a person gets sick, it's the manner of the fire got out of control in his body. What if a person, like, gets sick on Shabbos? Is he allowed to drink water because it's like putting out a fire?
The answer is that if a person is doing it purely for the purpose to use it as a medicine, it would be questionable whether he's allowed to do it. If he would want to do it, he would have to say, I'm drinking this because I'm very thirsty. But if a person says on Shabbos that they're doing any item because they're sick, that you're not allowed to do. Because a person's not permitted to take medicine on Shabbos. If a person says, I'm drinking this wine because I have a big headache and I hope it's going to serve as a medication to take away my headache, something like that, you're not supposed to do that on Shabbos. A person says, I'm drinking it because I like it. And in his mind, he knows also that he's hoping it's going to help cure his problem. He's drinking the water because he likes water, period. Hopefully it's going to help this also. That's not a problem. Baruch Hashem.
How does this concept, what we learned here, fit into we learned about Man, that the Man was closest to the ones who were greater and further to the ones who were lower?
Interesting point. The Gemara tells us that when Hashem gave the Man to the Jewish people, the Man, which was a miracle being the opposite of nature, the opposite of Teva. The Man, which the Jews had in the desert, which was miracle food, there it was done in such a way that according to how religious a person was, that's how easy it was made for him to access it. The one who was a Rasha, a person who was totally irreligious, didn't do any of the mitzvahs, didn't listen to Hashem, the Torah says for him, number one, the Man was not on his doorstep, he had to go look for it. And every single day, Hashem would make it fall in a different place. One day it would be in his backyard, the next day it would be in front of his house, and he would have to go looking around for it. A person who was a medium person, such a person, it would fall every day in the same spot, but again, it wasn't right on his doorstep, it was, let's say, 100 feet in front of his house. A person that was a tzaddik, the Gemara says he didn't have to go out 1 inch for it. It fell literally right on his doorstep, like the guy, the delivery boy delivering the paper, shoots it right in. That's where it went. The answer is could be that that's part of the miracle, that was the chiddush, that was abnormal. Whereas the norm in this world is this way. The normal structure of Kiderach HaTeva is that the item that's on a lower level has its source of life closest to it, and so on and so forth.
It's a slightly different question. How does this fit in, though, with the concept of a person, like Rabbi Zal, I think Rabbi Zal spoke about a person not traveling a long distance for Parnassa, trying to limit that, trying to remain, like, based on emunah, having emunah that your Parnassa can come where you are?
The answer is, again, it's dependent on the emunah. Rabbi Nizal writes in a chapter in the Ketamaran that emunah is bechinas nisim. Emunah and miracles are synonymous. According to how much faith a person has, that's how much the person is above the teva. Above the teva.
Nizal is discussing what the norm should be.
Exactly. Although, again, he's even referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, that by Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem showed this lesson, that because he was so great, therefore, for him to find what he needed, he had to travel a distance for it.
Stay local and rely on Emunah, which is the category of Nissen, but then we have a fall that you don't rely on Nissen.
Also true. The answer is this: it's a question of degrees. It's a question of levels. There's no question at all that if a person is given a choice in terms of earning his livelihood close by, where he can see his family every day, versus having to earn his livelihood in such a manner which takes him out of town on a regular basis, where he has to travel much further, there's no question at all that the preferred choice is close by. Because the act alone of traveling far for Parnassa is supposed to show a weakness in faith. It's as if you're implying Hashem can't give it to you over here. You have to go all the way over there to get it. What do you mean? Is there any shortage on the part of Hashem in being capable of providing for you right in your own backyard? That kind of thing. The answer is, to a degree, it depends on the person's emunah, in terms of how religious a person. Because don't forget, every sin that we commit, every bad thing we do, creates walls, cement walls, blocking this type of shefa, blocking this type of relationship with Hashem. So a person has to be honest with himself and knowing how pure he really is. Once we understand that, now it's a matter of looking at the reality of the situation. If a person's in a situation where he can get it close by, he definitely should. If there's a choice, definitely better close by. If not, if he has to travel, he knows that that's what he has to do. But to understand that that could be a reflection of something missing in his faith. Because Rabbein Ezal quotes an actual sentence in the Chumash where the Torah discusses the travels of the Jews throughout the desert, Eile Masei Bnei Yisrael. And the Medrash says that Eile Masei Bnei Yisrael was to serve as a correction for Eile Elokecha Yisrael. When the Jews worshipped the golden calf and they said, "These are your new Hashem," they actually worshipped an idol and they cleared this idol as Hashem. And over there it uses this word, Eile, Eile Elokecha Yisrael. The Medrash says that this is why when it discusses the travels of the Jews, it also uses this word, Eile. Eile Masei Bnei Yisrael. These were the travels, implying that usually when a Jew finds himself having to travel a lot, extensively, be away from home for long periods of time, Chas v'Shalom, that kind of thing, that could be showing him that there are things that he has to perfect in emunah, in shortages in emunah in himself, whether it be in previous years or previous lifetimes or in this lifetime or now, things that need tikkun.
Certainly what you said earlier about the making an analogy between the Aron being carrying the ones that were carrying it and then making an analogy to tzedakah and that saying that there's a causal relationship there, that it's tzedakah that carries the people, yet you find there are statements that there are certain things that are given to people that are just given to them without any necessary connection to anything else, wealth being one of them. And you see people who don't support any tzedakah and they're extremely wealthy. And you see people are wealthy before they give tzedakah. So how do you fit that in?
The answer is everything has a reason. There's no question about that. To one person, his wealth could be a form of punishment, where Chas v'Shalom, because he has done one or two little good things in his life, and the majority of what he's done has been bad, negative. The Gemara says sometimes Hashem's attitude is that he wants to pay off this guy the couple of pennies that I owe him for the couple of tiny little good things he's done in his life. Let me pay it off in this world so that for the next world, this guy can have a long hot seat, that kind of thing, meaning set in. In other words, it would be crystal clear that he's been paid off the droplets, couple of droplets of good he was willing to do. Here's his pacifier and get lost. When it comes to the world where pleasure is really significant, where a future really means something, there he's blocked out. That could be one of the reasons, the Gemara lists that as one of the reasons why we see certain people in this world are wealthy. Certain other people are wealthy because Hashem has given them the privilege. They've been chosen and honored by Hashem to be the ones to have the privilege of being the pillars upon which the Torah rests on, to be the Levim, the ones who carry the Aron. If the Aron didn't need anybody to carry it, if this thing was capable of carrying those that carried it, then why did anybody bother to carry it? Why didn't it just travel alone completely? The answer is because in this world, Hashem doesn't show miracles for any long period of time on a steady basis. Hashem prefers to keep things within the framework of Teva. So therefore, even in this concept of a miracle where the Aron was Noisei es Noisov, still there had to be a concept of people going over it to carry it, making an attempt to show that they were willing to serve it, to support it. In the end, Hashem did his own thing and worked it out that it all came through miracles. Just as, Rav Nosson Zal writes in Likutei Halachos, when it comes to Parnosa, it's the same exact thing. That when a person goes out to work, the person's supposed to be thinking in his mind, my purpose for going to work now, going to this store or this company today to buy and sell and to work, and is not because I believe that this is where my money has to come from. That's ridiculous. Hashem can send me money from any one of 10 billion sources. He's not limited, locked in any way whatsoever to this address, this Fifth Avenue address, or this Borough Park address, whatever it is. If that's the case, then why am I going? Isn't it ridiculous? The answer is, I'm going because I'm required to show some effort. I'm required to show that I'm doing something. Not that I believe that it's through my efforts that it's going to come. Baloney, it's going to come from Hashem. Hashem doesn't like lazy good-for-nothings. Hashem doesn't like a guy that sits back and feels that Hashem owes him, that he doesn't have to do anything at all and Hashem will just deliver it in his pocket. That's called being Samech al Anes. That's called being arrogant and thinking that you're so great that Hashem has to treat you this way. Therefore, I'm required to go out and do something. But in my own mind, I don't look at it as a cause and effect relationship. If I go into work today, I'll have bread to eat. If I don't earn it myself, it won't get done. Baloney. Money was here in the world before you came to earth. It's going to be here after you leave the earth. Rabbein Azal says, you go out into the marketplace, take a walk on Fifth Avenue, you see a whole load of stores lined up there. People doing business, buying and selling, people going out of business, closing up, chapter 1, chapter 5, whatever it is, people becoming millionaires overnight, a person gets a lease, buys it for $200,000, sells it for $1.5 million, all of these things going on back and forth, and a person gets caught in it, and Rabbein Azal says, take a look out there. You ask anybody that was here 40 years ago, ask them if this was going on then. The answer is it was going on then, just different faces. There was the same humdrum of activity, just different faces. And we're letting you know in advance that after you leave, it's going to continue going on. All of this is going to keep moving, the train is moving. So therefore, don't ever get the feeling that without you, all of this will fall apart, that that kind of attitude. So it's a mix, it's a combination of a lot of different thoughts that a person has to keep in mind when you're thinking about this. How on one hand we are obligated to do, and sometimes to travel, and sometimes to... And at the same time, for a person to know that it's definitely from Hashem's side, it's definitely possible to provide for me without any effort at all whatsoever on my part, just like Lechem and Hashemayim, just like the Mon, and other cases where we saw clearly that Hashem showed that he was able to provide without any effort, without any sibo, without any circumstance whatsoever provided by the person.
The subject of medicine on Shabbat, we know it's a love. And on one point we have the Kratla Shabbat Onek, we should call the Sabbath of delight, health, all the things that we have to do to make it beautiful and serene. On the other hand, if there has to be a sickness, we can't correct it.
I
mean, we cannot take medicines. We know that we're confined to a bed, that you're allowed to do the other things. So why is there that wall there?
The answer is, for starters, I don't want to get too much into this because it's way off topic. But you ask the question, we have to respond something. When we say that a Jew is not supposed to take medicine on Shabbos, it's because there is no such thing as sickness on Shabbos. Shabbos is Bechinas Olam Haba. Shabbos is Yoyim Shekulay Toiv. On Shabbos, there is no such thing as sickness. If you feel sick, it means you're lacking in Shabbos. It means for you it's not really Shabbos today. Because if it were really Shabbos for you, the sickness couldn't possibly exist. And that's why under normal circumstances, when we see a person who feels a little ill, this, that, and he comes to us and says, am I permitted? Should I be taking this medicine on Shabbos? The answer is, what are you, nuts? You think you're sick? Think it over again. Start thinking about what Shabbos is. Start thinking about how privileged we are that Hashem has chosen us. All these other cattle and sheep and mules have to continue working and slaving 7 days a week, no stop. And we are privileged characters that Hashem has given us permission to take a day off. You're free. Today is on me. You don't have to go out and earn a cent. I'm picking up the tab for today. This is Hashem's words about a person who's privileged to be Shomer Shabbos. And if that's the case, that type of unbelievable flow of kindness, chesed chinam on the part of Hashem, that's shefeah, that's radiating on Shabbos, means there is no sickness. Just like a Jew is not permitted to say to somebody, refuah shelema on Shabbos. There's a chapter in Shulchan Aruch that says you're not permitted to say, I hope you get, but why? The answer is because you're not sick. Today's Shabbos, you're not sick. There's no such thing as being sick. On Shabbos, a person is not supposed to pray for his own personal needs. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you look at the Shemone Esrei that we say on Shabbos, we don't say the things that we say during the week, actually asking for specific things that we feel we're missing. Why? Because on Shabbos, I am missing nothing. I am lacking in nothing. I have everything. That's supposed to be the emunah of a Jew. Once we see that a person is at a point where it becomes sakona, let's say, or something like that, or a sofek sakona, the tiniest hint that his life may be in danger, then a whole different set of rules come into play, because obviously this person is not plugged into the Shabbos properly, where the Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos itself can't help him right now. And if we're obligated to make a choice between his life or the holiness of Shabbos, there's nothing that's more important than a Jewish life. Nothing at all whatsoever. That's a drop. This topic is discussed several times in Likutei Halacha, it's another sforum, and given much more.
Okay.